Last fall, a Wisconsin judge ruled that the ban on the sale of home-baked goods was unconstitutional. And today we're going to take a look at the outcome of the ruling and also give you some tips for selling your own baked goods. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, a couple of people who have been very involved in that case. Lisa Kivrist, author, woman farmer, cottage food activist, entrepreneur. Lisa, great to have you back.
Hey, thanks, Larry.
She served as a plaintiff in the lawsuit, and with her in the studio, with me in the studio, John Ivanko, writer, entrepreneur, author. Together, they wrote a number of books, including Homemade for Sale, a book that helps entrepreneurs create food-based businesses in their own kitchen. John, good to see you again, too. Yeah,
thanks so much.
Appreciate having you with us today. They also offer workshops, and so we're going to talk with them about their work, and we're going to talk about that Wisconsin judge and the ruling that came about and what their role is, and also we'll talk with them about how you might create your own food-based business in your own kitchen. So I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can write a comment or question on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Lisa, you know, we often talk about women farmers when you're here. Today we're going to be talking about selling home-baked goods, a little different, but you're a wonderful baker.
It's all connected. Thank you, Larry.
She always
brings
something.
I think he invites me because I bring him treats, but that's what I love to do. I wake up in the morning at our farm in Serendipity. We have a bed and breakfast, and that's what I do. I make muffins, so I'm all about baking, and you know we love Wisconsin, so to put those two together and help support new businesses starting in home kitchens, we are finally there.
Well, tell us about the lawsuit and how you got involved in it.
Sure. So the quick short story to where we are today is in October of last year, 2017, Judge Dwayne Dorgensen in Lafayette County ruled that the ban on the sale of homemade baked goods, like you said, was unconstitutional, and that lifted the ban. So for everyone in the state of Wisconsin, we can now sell non-hazardous baked goods, which basically, in a nutshell, are things that don't require refrigeration, the safer items. We need to sell within the state of Wisconsin, direct to our customers, and at the current time, there's no gross sales cap. Are the unique, unprecedented, historic, somewhat awkward situation is we have a judge's ruling lifting the ban on the sale of homemade baked goods, but we do not have a law. Folks might have heard of the cookie bill.
Yeah.
That's what we've been trying to get passed through our elected officials, our legislation, for 5 years now.
Yeah.
Variations have passed. The Senate passed a cookie bill most recently last June that was decent, but we have not, never have yet, probably will not get the cookie bill on the agenda in the assembly for a vote anytime soon. Now, actually, both our assembly and Senate are out of session until 2019. So bottom line, we'll be in this position where, yeah, we can do these things legally, but we do not have a law. So well, at some point, we hopefully will. That was the intent originally. But as we know in democracy, we have three branches of government. And if one isn't working, like the legislative side for us in Wisconsin, yes, myself and two good friends of mine, Chris Marion at Circle M Farm in Blanchardville and Della Enns at Scotch Hill in Broadhead, with much support from the Institute for Justice and our attorney, Erica Smith, we filed suit against the dear state of Wisconsin in 2016. I say that because this whole thing was a little awkward, but necessary in that that's the process we needed to go through. And that's the process we all as citizens have the right to do if we're in situations that are unjust or unconstitutional as well.
So what do you think? How many people out there do you think are interested in doing something like this?
Lots.
There are, John, we'll go to you for that.
There are thousands upon thousands of people in Wisconsin right now that have been waiting way too long to have an opportunity to start selling cookies once again to their neighbors. It's the way it was years and years and years ago. And suddenly it wasn't. And here we are now having a really wonderful opportunity. And we're doing that right now. And we have these delicious chocolate chip pumpkin muffins that we were serving to our B&B guests, but we were prevented from selling them. And now we aren't. And we're out of the door and running full steam ahead in Serendipity Fresh Baked. And we've been doing these workshops for the last month or so, and we're going to continue to do them all summer. And folks have these amazing recipes, things that people are saying, gosh, I wish I could sell these, but I couldn't. Everyone keeps saying, this is the best cookie or muffin or a loaf of artisan bread. And they were prevented from doing so. Now they are no longer. And so I think we're going to see a lot of very, very talented home cooks come out there, home bakers, and do some pretty spectacular things and really help, I think, elevate all of our palates as a result of that.
So we're, go ahead.
I was going to say, so what we're talking about is called cottage food law. Every state has their own law. So Wisconsin is different than Illinois, Minnesota. But what got John and I first jazzed about this was back in 2011 when the pickle bill passed in Wisconsin. That authorized and is still in existence as it was. Basically, high acid canned items could be made in home kitchens for sale at farmers markets and public events. And that got us excited. What else could we do? And we quickly realized every other state in the country, except for New Jersey, but we're working on that, could sell baked goods. So really, this is ketchup
so
for
we're the
Wisconsin.
Only ones.
Yeah, exactly. So to your original question, there's been bakers, wonderful bakers in Wisconsin chomping at the bits for years. And this is actually going to really help us preserve our Wisconsin baking heritage, if you will, because there's so many wonderful cultural foods and recipes that you don't see on the mass supermarket shelves because they either can't be transported or they're too small batch. So the majority of cottage food entrepreneurs, as we learned in our research for the Homemade for Sale book, is a small batch, is people who are doing things part-time, a lot of moms, stay-at-home moms, who want to do something on the side, who want to do something for the holidays, earn some extra money. But that's the key, is it's taking people from hobbyists and giving everything away to becoming their own bakery business owner. And that is empowering and confidence building and can really revitalize our Wisconsin economies, particularly our small rural economies, like where we're from.
Yeah, and you're not going to become millionaires probably at this.
No. Well, I mean, you might have a product, and we have seen this, where you start it in your home kitchen, it really takes off, and then you go commercial. Then you get the commercial kitchen and whatever else you might need to do, wholesale or other. There's that possibility, but you don't by any means have to, and for the most part, people like to keep them small and something they do.
So, I just blanked on what I was going to ask you. So let me turn it around a little bit. Are you seeing some interest? You know, have people started up now since this law was overturned? Essentially,
not only have they started up, but they have been practicing for so many years, Larry, where they couldn't sell. So they just keep practicing and practicing and practicing. Now, I mean, a lot of folks we know have been doing projects and things just at cost just to do events because they can't do it legally. So now they have an opportunity to go out and bake those cakes and bake those cookies and decorate them. We've seen in the last week and a half some absolutely spectacular hand-decorated sugar cookies come through. I mean, things that you would think these folks, you know, did a culinary school training for them. They're just really, really beautiful. And in many ways, too, it's a little bit of an expression of their talent and their creativity. And we write about this in our book, sometimes when you spend over 10,000 hours, and for any home cook, easily qualifies under the 10,000, you become really good at it. And now with this opportunity opening up for them, it's a great opportunity to become a little bit of an entrepreneur again.
So the question I was going to ask earlier that I forgot momentarily was, to whom can you sell, and how can you sell? Is it direct?
Yes, that's the bottom line. Direct to your customer within the state of Wisconsin. So it's about the most transparent form of transaction when you think about it, is you're buying direct from the producer. So farmers markets or orders or any way that you sell direct. So bottom line, not wholesale or things like that. It's intended to be small batch and personal.
Can you advertise?
Sure.
Yep. And many folks have both websites that they can advertise, as well as Facebook pages and so forth. So either way, and you can take orders. It's just the key is direct delivery. And we've actually shipped a loaf of our Latvian rye bread in the state of Wisconsin to another customer in the state of Wisconsin. So it's a direct relationship.
How are you? Let's talk a little bit about the work that you're doing, the workshops that you're doing. What form do they take?
We've been doing some small around our kitchen table, literally workshops on the farm, because the history of getting to where we are today has been complicated, to say the least, of trying to get things. So there's a lot of misinformation out there, and we want to create safe space where folks can ask questions and, importantly, meet each other and bounce ideas. It's a real collaborative community of cookie entrepreneurs right now in our state.
So, and you're willing to do these pretty much in your home for now, but you're willing to do them perhaps elsewhere.
Oh, we want to get the word out. We really appreciate the time today to talk about this.
We are, and we're going to continue to talk about this and invite you to join in as well. Lisa Kivris, one of our guests today, author, woman, farmer, cottage food activist, entrepreneur. And she was one of the plaintiffs in a successful lawsuit against the state that declared the ban on the sale of home-baked goods unconstitutional. With us as well, her husband, John Ivanko, writer, entrepreneur, and author. You can join in. The number to call with your questions or experiences, 1-800-642-1234. We'll be back after the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We've been talking about selling baked goods made in home kitchens, maybe in your kitchen, with a couple of guests, Lisa Kivris and John Ivanko with us. Lisa, author, woman farmer, cottage food activist, entrepreneur, plaintiff in the lawsuit that lifted the Wisconsin ban on selling home baked goods. John's a writer, entrepreneur, an author, and together they wrote a number of books, including Homemade for Sale, a book that helps entrepreneurs create food-based businesses in their own kitchens. They also offer workshops, and they have their own bed and breakfast in Serendipity, a wonderful place to visit. And talking with them about selling your baked goods. Have you done it? Have you had an experience with it? Questions about it? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And you know, we have a caller online, Tim in Eau Claire, up with a question for you. So let's just go there. Tim, hi.
Well,
thanks.
I have some cookies that I'd like to get to the point where I could sell them, but the recipe isn't quite perfected yet. So I'm wondering, with your baking expertise, if maybe you'd be willing to give me a bit of advice.
I want a sample. Then I'll... Darn radio show.
They are a cornbread sugar cookie. And the problem that I have is the cornmeal... The coarse cornmeal gives it the flavor I want, but it's too crunchy. The fine cornmeal doesn't give it the flavor I want, but gets closer to the texture that I want.
Well, you are approaching this from the right perspective, Tim. First of all, never bake anything for sale that you don't want to eat yourself. Because the worst case scenario is you end up with leftovers, right? You know, I am a homespun baker myself, and I keep, like you, tweaking things and testing things on friends and trying new things. You're definitely taking on new territory with the cornmeal. I am more of a basic all-purpose unbleached flour muffin maker myself. But that said, what's great about our situation in Wisconsin right now is we have a wonderful community of bakers. And there's both the WisconsinCottageFood.com site that has basically everything we're talking about today to get you started. We've done that with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And then there's also several Facebook groups, the Wisconsin Cottage Food page, and there's also Wisconsin Home Bakers now, to ask these questions to and really crowdsource any questions that you may have, because that's what we do here in Wisconsin, right? We do it together. And especially with bakers throughout the state, if you're selling something up north and somebody needs help with the same item down south, that's where we can really help each other out. So I'd throw it out there to the larger baking community, and they sound yummy.
Thank you very much for calling. Let's go to Sheila in Waupun next. Sheila, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Quick question. Does this include selling like small grains off of your farm? We're organic dairy farmers, a small family farm, and my husband grows small grains sometimes. So we would be wondering if we could actually sell those out of our home.
So you mean sell them like a... Oh, I'm sorry. I butted
right.
in.
Right. Yeah. Ahead. No. So, unfortunately, what we're talking about, unfortunately for you, what we're talking about right now is people baking items in their home kitchen. So there's going to be lots of people who want what you are growing on the farm there for sure, and the whole growth of Wisconsin-raised grains and heritage grains. However, you would be selling a processed food product that would need to go through commercial licensing.
Oh, so she couldn't make a flour out of those grains and then sell the flour.
Correct. Not under cottage food situations. That would be a commercial product. But I encourage you to consider that, because the demand for locally raised flours and grains are just going to increase with all these bakers.
What would you have to do, John, you'd have to go to a commercial operation of sorts, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it'd be some sort of a commercial setup. And I think if you contacted either DATCAP or the health department, they would be able to point you in some right direction to get at least familiar with what you might want to do. Or, I mean, they could look at, you know, contract processing out too. So they may not have to do the work. They just find another licensed facility that would take their product and do what they need to have done with it.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so, you know, we found, you know, several different sources for flour, because we have our pumpkin already in our product. That's our whole thing is, okay, we're using what we grow, but we don't have wheat on our farm. So what we were trying to find those sources immediately local, or at least in Wisconsin. And so we now have two different sources for that. So we're looking at the 100% Wisconsin made muffin.
So, and boy, those muffins are really good. I ate all four.
They're small.
Right in the newscast. So Sheila should be looking maybe around Waupun, where she's from.
Yeah, there's increasingly local mills in Wisconsin. I mean, there's like Lonesome Rock and Lone Rock and Meadowlark Organics now that we use. They're based in Ridgeway. So there's increasing options for folks locally and ask for it, because that's our ideal. Yeah, the 100% Wisconsin muffin.
Yeah, that's great. Sheila, thanks. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Becky in River Hills. Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling, basically, I brew kombucha, so it's kind of a related homebrew craft experience. But what I'm worried about, or more my husband, is what about insurance? What's needed as far as carrying insurance or cost of insurance if you would prepare your product and then sell it at a farmer's market or something like that? Are you covered, or what's the liability?
Yeah,
sure.
Lisa?
Well, let me first be clear. Kombucha would not qualify under what we're talking about. We're only talking about home baked goods, non-hazardous baked items. So for kombucha or any beverage, period, anything live fermented, would need to go through commercial licensing. So again, in this case, there's increasing shared commercial community kitchens, like Feed Kitchen here in Madison, that I believe has a number of kombucha startups. That would be a good spot to start to find out where you need to process it, and particularly working with an entity like a Feed that's a nonprofit there to support your business. They can talk you through a lot of the needed regulations and insurances, et cetera. But it's a broader process when you're starting a food product like we're talking about with kombucha. But what we're wanting to talk about is to the easy on-ramp for folks who are ready baking, want to bake, and can do something in their home kitchen. So this is the real, again, non-hazardous items.
Yeah, so in terms of those non-hazardous, that's a terrible term, by the way. It sounds just awful to me, in a way. But sort of your normal insurance?
Yeah, the insurance, okay, for those products, insurance is always usually something that folks themselves will think about. You're either risk averse or risk tolerant. And that is an ultimately your personal decision or your family's decision or your business's decision. So what you're looking at from that perspective then is if you would like to have a little coverage, most homeowner insurance policies will have a rider that you might need to talk to your agent about, but there'll be a rider that might only cost anywhere from $35 to $60. So it's not that much, but that will give you that liability insurance and the fact that you're running a legitimate formal business out of your home. And it's called incidental to the home. It's kind of oftentimes how the policies are written. You can also take out, though, Larry, a commercial policy, and sometimes those run $400 to $600 that will basically do the same thing. There'll be $300,000 or even $1 million worth of liability insurance and so forth. If you're more of that person, maybe the other partner in the household's not super excited that you're selling these products to the public and they're nervous about it, this is just one way to relatively cost-effectively address those concerns and move forward with it. Now, back to the non-hazardous, it's very, very hard. You'd have to go out of your way with a chocolate chip cookie to really make someone sick. I mean, you really have to make some serious errors in the kitchen. And, you know, the home cooks we're talking about, they take the same love and passion about feeding their family, especially during the holidays, as they do with the cookies or breads that they serve to the public. So you follow the safety protocol, as most folks do in the kitchen already. All you're doing is kind of continuing. And because we're dealing with non-hazardous products, you're really fairly safe all the way around, which is basically why the judge ruled the way he did.
So, and when we're talking non-hazardous, so we're talking, like, what are the basic ingredients?
Sure. Well, there's a scientific definition of, like, 0.85 moisture level, and that has to do with, again, keeping the food items safe without refrigeration. Folks often ask, you know, can I make X? Can I make cupcakes? Can I make cookies? And my answer is always, it depends on the ingredients. It's not like there's a category per se of baked goods that you can or can't do, but it's the ingredients that goes in there and how they interact together. So the vast majority of things, the vast majority of breads and cookies and those kind of basic baked goods we're familiar with would be considered non-hazardous. You could bring them to a farmer's market and leave them on your table all afternoon and they would be fine. And we all intuitively know, like, what's a hazardous item? Well, yeah, you wouldn't bring a custard pie to market. That goes in the fridge. So there's a lot that is available. If anybody's unsure, you can readily have your recipe tested on the WisconsinCottageFood.com site with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. It'll link to actually a listing that through the Department of Ag, through DATCAP, of labs that test recipes, and then you'll know if there's any question. But we really, particularly now in this unprecedented time of having a judge's ruling and no law, we as a community of home-based baking entrepreneurs need to shepherd food safety and prioritize that and understand these things and do it all properly and together.
It's a pretty, really, it's a remarkable range of products. Though everything we talked about a lot about muffins, but you have biscottis and we make Latvian rye bread and artisan crackers and butterhorn rolls, and there really is a under that baked goods low moisture classification a pretty remarkable amount of different kinds of products out there for folks. And of course, everyone makes Christmas cookies, right? And here's your opportunity within your community to suddenly take these cookies you were giving away. Now there might be a nice little holiday market bazaar that you can start up a little mini enterprise and share those that beautiful cookie with your neighbors.
Anna in Monroe has something for us. Let's go there now. Hi, Anna. Thank you for calling.
Hi. And I have to say hi to John and Lisa, and I'm sure Lisa had to drive through a flower storm when she went past my place to come to your show today.
Anna's my neighbor on County P, and she's an awesome baker, and I get samples readily, regularly.
Yeah, sometimes Lisa gets to be my beta tester and say, what do you think? But I think it's just wonderful that I can now try and make a little business out of selling baked things, and my specialty actually is going to be more in the loaves of bread type thing, because I think a lot of people are intimidated by yeast, and I love to play with yeast. And I'm planning on going to the Nuglaris Farmers Market this Friday for my first time. And I'm just really excited to be taking my Russian black bread, and I have spelt bread, and I have caramel pecan rolls and cinnamon rolls. And, oh, golly, I in fact, made a French pastry that I gave Lisa a sample of and brought to one of her workshops. And one of the people there tasted it, and he told me, he says, you have got to make this for the farmer's market. So we'll see.
You'll see. Well, thank you, Anna, for that comment, Lisa.
Well, and Anna represents two really important things about this new baking movement is, number one, be passionate about what you like to make. She loves yeast. Yeast makes me nervous. I'm kind of like a baker, a cookie maker. I make one kind of bread. But that's great. Follow what it is that you love to do. And secondly, she mentioned she's going to be selling for the first time at the New Glarus Farmers Market. That's a new market that just started last week by us. So the opportunity for farmers markets to expand vendors, and now that we head right into the beautiful part of summer and markets blooming throughout Wisconsin, yeah, there is so much opportunity to test your ideas and just bring something. Do you know, most market managers are thrilled to have somebody like a new baker make a couple batches, see what sells, doesn't, come back the next week, and it's prime time for that.
Thank you very much, Anna, for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, with your own questions, comments, or maybe experiences at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Speaking of Facebook, Gerald on Facebook says he's surprised that there's such freedom since restaurants and bakeries have so many regulations that they have to follow. In some ways, he says it doesn't seem fair.
That's interesting. I mean, we, for example, we always have different laws and regulations. We're not one size fits all with size of business. Now, remember, every other state in the country, except for New Jersey, and there's a pending lawsuit there, can sell baked goods. So we're talking about something very low hazardous that allows people to be empowered to start their own business in their home kitchen. So there's strong precedent in this on the safety track record. And secondly, and more importantly even, this is the ultimate transparent transaction. If you have any doubt, or if you prefer buying something off of a commercially produced mass refrigerator shelf or mass supermarket shelf,
yeah,
feel free. Do you know? And if you want to know exactly who made your item, then yeah, buy through home bakers, through cottage food opportunities. So we have choices, but we really have finally caught up with the rest of the country in opportunities for home bakers, and we're so excited about that.
Yeah, in many ways, Larry, the whole cottage food movement, if you'll call it that, came about, it's kind of built off the farmers market movement. Yeah, we can get fruits, vegetables, and herbs at your local supermarket, right? They're all there. Why do people go into farmers markets? You know, they're looking for that direct connection. They're looking for fresher food. They're looking, in some cases, for things that don't have any other things on them. I'm referring sometimes to chemicals and preservatives. Mm-hmm. Well, if you think about the cottage food related to baked goods, it's the same thing. People want three things in their cookie: sugar, some sort of butter or something, mm-hmm, and flour. They don't want all those other things that you can't pronounce. And so this is that opportunity. How and why this has come about is a lot of states. I mean, the whole cottage food movement in the United States largely came about. It's the only great thing I would say that came out of the Great Recession is that state by state, they said, hey, we have to give folks an opportunity to become at least a little bit of an entrepreneur before they lose their house. And so they came about and they said, okay, you can do high acid canned goods, some places, you know, jams and jellies. And then increasingly they said, okay, you can do baked goods too. And so, you know, give folks an opportunity to earn. You never know where that may go. I mean, ultimately, a lot of the biggest cookie companies started, you know, at first in small batches out of their home kitchen. And so someone said, you know, that tastes really good. You should sell that to someone someday. And here we are today where we have more and more of a freedom within each state, especially in Wisconsin now, to be able to do that.
And you were mentioning ingredients, and that reminded me that about labeling. I have a friend whose daughter is allergic to various things. And so I would expect that even if it's a home situation, you want to be labeling so that if there's nuts in a cookie or something that...
You bet. So right now, since we don't have a specific law or regulations, what we recommend is using the pickle bill that currently exists as a model. And if you look that up, or if you go on WisconsinCottageFood.com site, there's some recommendations on labeling and doing exactly what you said. Have all the ingredients, your name, the date you made it, and a statement that basically says this was made in a non-inspected home kitchen. So people know. Ultimate transparency.
Yeah. On our website and in the materials that we send out with our cookies, we say explicitly, made in a private home, not subject to state licensing or inspection. Again, freedom of information. We want clarity. We want transparency. You can choose or not to buy our muffins, but here's what they are. But we think if you try these, you might like these, and you might not go back to what you were buying before.
Let's take Vicki in Oregon next. Vicki, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I make Lefse, and I was just wondering if that would fall under the home baker thing, because I was thinking homemade Lefse would be really good around Christmas time to sell.
Yeah. I am honestly not 100% sure on the moisture content. We are working on, there's a partner group of farmers by me who's coming up with a toolkit on non-hazardous baking, which will be out next spring, where we're going to do some tests on Lefse. In the meantime, that would be your best bet if you're not sure. I know it's a different kind of bread. It is moister, and it would have to do with how the ingredients play out with each other. But it'd be awesome because, sure, there's a lot of Lefse lovers and Lefse bakers in the state.
And there's a lot of people, quite frankly, that don't have the experience, expertise, and the time that you would put into your product. So this is an opportunity, really, for you to help folks be introduced or enjoy your product. So the actual companies Lisa referred to in testing them, some of those tests, it's just not a lot of money. It's $25. You send in some samples of your product. They do an analysis. They send you back a letter saying yes or no. And if it's a yes, which it probably is, but you don't know until you have your specific recipe tested, then you're game on. You keep that letter. And if anyone ever questions it, you have it in your hip pocket to show folks to verify that this is in fact a non-hazardous product and you're good to go.
And what's the percentage, the moisture?
It's kind of a scientific thing about a 0.85 moisture level. Nobody would know it just looking at something. Again, the majority of things are fine. You know, the majority of breads. Once you get into kind of the weeds of something moist like a Lefse, I honestly don't know personally, but it's no big deal. Just have it tested.
Thanks again, Vicki, for calling. Kathy in Lancaster, your turn. Hi, Kathy. Kathy, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am.
What's on your mind today?
Oh, I just wanted to thank these two forerunners for us for taking this battle on. I was fortunate enough to take their class on Thursday, and I own a vegan B&B in Lancaster, and I'm so excited to be able to finally get to showcase and show off the things that we all love to make and bake. So thank you, Lisa.
Oh, thanks, Kathy. And, you know, it's a shout out to B&B owners around the state, because here for forever, we've been running our B&B now for 20 years. I could legally make muffins in my home kitchen and serve them to you, but it was illegal to sell you the same muffins, which, yeah, as the judge ruled, is an arbitrary restriction. There's no reason for that. So, yes. So support your B&Bs in Wisconsin and buy some muffins this season and take them home.
Good for you, Kathy. Thank you very much.
Mary, if I could add,
yeah, go ahead.
I mean, a lot of times the state wants us to be open for business and we want to expand our businesses and keep our businesses viable. But in the case with B&Bs, that's one of the things. Every extra mug, every extra dozen rolls or muffins you can sell, that all adds to the viability and success financially of your enterprise. So this is an example where you have a really good opportunity to expand and grow by just using something that should be and is now allowed.
Well, on that note, we are about out of time. We've got your book, Homemade for Sale. How do people get a copy of the book?
Sure. So Homemade for Sale, homemadeforsale.com is our book and more of a national resource. WisconsinCottageFood.com with the Wisconsin Farmers Union will take you through everything we've been talking about today. And keep in touch, because we will probably have a law at some point. We'll need to rally and hear all these stories of amazing startups that happened this year.
Lisa and John, thank you so much for being with us today. Lisa Kivrist, author, woman farmer, food activist, extraordinaire, and entrepreneur, as is her husband, John Ivanko. They own In Serendipity, and they'll be selling a lot of baked goods, I'm pretty sure of that. Thank you all very much for listening, and please do stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network. Stick around.